relax. Hey, my computer survived. Everybody, welcome to another episode of the Best of Five. My name is Elon. I'm joined here with Steve Main Squeeze, Ace King, Offsuit Jurek. I brought it back. It is the first day of September. We've survived August.
Which means we are 20 days away from the 21st night of September. Do you remember that?
No.
You don't remember the 21st night of September?
I don't. I do not. But, say, do you remember living in September? Have you heard the mashup of that and Ozzy Osbourne?
No, I have not. I feel like I am a sucker for a good mashup, so I will definitely be on the lookout for that after the show.
Okay. First of all, you can't play it now
because we're going to get hit by copyright.
Oh yeah, that's right. The beginning of it is exactly the stem. All right. So first of all, I have an announcement. I have an announcement to make. Everybody listen up. You listening?
I'm listening.
I am.
Ears perked.
I am shaving my beard. Now, you might be thinking, wow, that's a shitty announcement. I didn't even know you had a beard. Yes. You are correct in feeling that way. But here's the sitch. If we can squeeze out 10 subs within the next 2 weeks, I'll let everybody pick what my facial hairstyle is going to be after I shave.
Oh, dear God. Why?
And we'll make a straw poll for it. Everybody in the Discord is going to vote on it. And then I'm going to wear that style for I don't want to condemn myself to a month. Let's say 2 weeks. I'll shave on a Sunday. And then we'll have two shows of this new facial hairstyle, and then I'll get rid of the rest.
See, I can't offer to do the same because this is pretty much what you get. You know, I had to go clean shaven for my sister's wedding. But after that, it's like it takes years to get anywhere close to where I was before. So, you know, this little scruffiness, this little stubble here, this is peak Steve. This is the best I can give you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the last time I shaved. I think it was probably February. Mustache included, yes. So all we're looking for is... holy shit, it worked. Fanatical Milk. You want to see the goatee without a mustache? We can make it happen. All right, we're 9 subs away from letting the viewers decide. But thank you, Fanatical Milk, and your Xbox randomly generated name for subscribing to us for 7 months. We super duper appreciate it. But yes, everything. The only thing I'm not changing is my hair. But facial hair, fair game. Eyebrows, not fair game, unfortunately. Unibrow, maybe.
See, I can't even offer the eyebrows either.
I never noticed. You look like you don't have eyebrows.
I pretty much don't, you know. The alopecia pretty much got everything. So I've got like one eyebrow, but it's evenly split between the two places where they should be.
Hey, look, man.
I've got like 60% of an eyebrow here and 40% of one here.
Gotcha. Well, here's the thing, Steve. You're an attractive motherfucker, and that's why I didn't notice.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I am bottom tier on best
of
five. Right,
you know what? You were going to give us your power rankings. Let's see how wrong you are. Go for it.
Okay. So, power rankings. Number one, or number five. Let me go in reverse order. Number five is me. Steve Guile eyebrows. Oh, my God. See, I feel like I have... Have you ever heard of Charlie Villanueva?
Yes. I don't think I've seen Charlie Villanueva, though.
Google Charlie Villanueva and pull up his picture and show it on stream, if you could, please. because I am a less attractive version of that. Shorter, fatter, much less athletic, much less money in my bank account. Basically, why, if you could get Charlie Villanueva, why would you hang with me? So I'm number five. Alon, you are number four. I feel you could move up if you were a little more, a little less scruffy down here in the beard area. If you tighten that up, you could move up. You got potential. You got mad potential, my friend. Number three is probably Mike. You know, he's got sort of like the curly hair going, but it's like the I don't care, but it's cool that I don't care look. You know, sort of like he would feel, he seems like the guy who would be the lead actor in a Zach Braff film.
Gotcha. Also, here's Charlie Villanueva. I couldn't just pull up one picture, but we have many to choose from.
I actually got confused for Charlie Villanueva at a Buffalo Wild Wings one time.
Bro, you should have been like...
I have no idea.
You should have been like, you want for my dinner?
He's 6'10". Well, I had already eaten, so I couldn't even take advantage of that. But he's 6'10". I'm 5'10". He's, you know, athletic. I am not. Just no. I don't know how that happened. So the tier list is me, you, Mike. I would have to go with John number two. Mm-hmm. You know, he's very suave. But Efren, Papi, number one. You know, he's... I'm glad I...
No, I mean, I don't disagree with you. You're right.
Like, would you rearrange that in any way?
I think I'd switch John and Mike, to be completely honest.
Okay.
But this I'd also put you above part. Me. I would also put you above me. I'm definitely.
I disagree. I disagree with that.
Stop it! You're above me. I'm the power bottom. All right. Now that we've pushed that to the limit.
Wow.
Now that we've pushed that to the limit, let's move on.
Hold up.
Let's
rewind.
We've pushed it to the limit, Steve. Holy shit. All right, chat.
Shoutouts to Anime Evo. AKA whatever it's going to be called. I am swiftly changing topics here.
Holy
because
shit.
I don't know what Alon's talking about. Anime Evo wrapped up their final weekend of competition this weekend. Like 30 different tournaments over 4 weekends across 24, 25 games. To be able to pull that off takes an incredible amount of effort. So incredible thanks to the entire crew that made that happen. If you were able to watch any of it, if you were able to participate. I don't have a final number of how many players, but basically they ran the month of August, and that was pretty damn cool to see. Obviously, they'll be back in some form next year, probably not as Anime Evo. If you'll remember, they were planning on changing their name to disassociate themselves a bit from Evo, but it was too close to... the event itself to go through any sort of rebranding. So expect to see something on that front either later this year or early next. But, yeah, what a weekend. What a month for the Anime Evo crew.
Man, could you imagine the feeling of finishing that project? Daryl must be sleeping like a baby.
He would. I don't know if I could pull that off. Just, you know. When pulling off one online tournament is a challenge. And I think that's something that we really don't give a lot of credit for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that offline tournaments have a different set of challenges. But online tournaments, to be able to do that well, to organize it, to get everybody seated to some sort of agreeable way, is a challenge. To manage the issues that pop up with connection issues and managing all of that, that's a challenge as well. To do it once is an accomplishment. To do it 30 times over the course of a month it's spectacular. So,
yeah,
they earned all the plaudits. Show them some love on Twitter, on however you can, because they are awesome.
Yeah, for sure. I had that experience helping with the KI United Cup or the KI United tournament a couple weeks ago. And man, and like, I'm no stranger to online tournaments at all, but shit, dude, like much like you said, like with an in-person tournament, you have a lot of control over a lot of things, right? If somebody is not physically where you need them to be, they're disqualified. You don't know where they are. They're not where they need to be. That's fine. If it's online, who the fuck knows what's happening? You don't know where they are. You don't know if they're there. You're just hoping they are. Not to mention, like, any bracket issues, like Steve said, online issues, even, like, stream issues. It's basically, like, a juggler. Like, I always see a TO as a juggler, right? Because they're juggling everything over the weekend. And it's not just, three tennis balls. Imagine it being more like four chainsaws and two hammers. They're just juggling it up. Now, imagine an online tournament is taking that juggler and putting them on a canoe in the middle of the ocean. Yes. So you're juggling everything, but you're also in unstable waters. Steve, I very much appreciate your interpretation.
I'm trying to help out.
No,
I'm trying
to help. It's good. It landed. Everybody understood what I was saying now. But yeah, no, that's a feat like none other. So big congratulations to the Anime Evo crew, and big congrats, Daryl, the big honcho there. Right? Is that another word for like the leader? I don't know.
Yeah, head honcho.
Head honcho.
Big kahuna.
Big kahuna. Okay. Yeah, I just mixed everything. Just mixed every El Big Honcho.
El Big Honcho. I think that probably means something if you say it all together. El Big Honcho.
I don't want to find out.
I'm not sure.
I don't want to find out. But I will say this. First of all, Paco Stevens, happy September. You survived August. Congratulations. We all survived August. Speaking of surviving stuff, we also survived another CPT online this past weekend. This time, no drama. No big blow-ups, except for one blow-up, and that was Smug taking it.
With the greatest of ease, Smug is now headed to Capcom Cup, so congratulations to Smug, to Smuggles.
The Grand Finals was something, because it's been a while since I've seen Smug and Shine play. They used to always play at Next Level Battle Circuit, so we got to watch them play every week. But seeing them play again, it hit right here because it was like a nostalgic feeling for them older times. Back when we could be with people more than 10 at a time. Well, technically more than 5 at a time if you want to be safe. I had a stress dream about going somewhere without a mask and there was a shit ton of people and I was super nervous. That's the second time I've had that stress dream. And I'm bringing that up because with this CPT online happening and it going fairly smooth, right? I'm assuming I didn't hear about anything bad happening or anything like any major blowups happening aside from some people head lag. Is this the new norm? Or have we finally settled into what we're going to be doing for the next? I don't know, like 6 months to a year, if not longer.
I mean, it's going to be a while before we see massive, large-scale tournaments at the, offline. And that's probably a topic that we'll touch on with something else happening a little later on. But it's going to be interesting. Like, when this first started happening in January or February, mostly in February when we started hearing about events canceling, we thought, okay, maybe, you know, we're looking at, you know, a summer, hopefully, you know, we get this out of the way and then we can start going back to normal. Now it's looking like it's not going to be anywhere close to that. So we've already had events canceling in 2021. I know Kumite in Tennessee is going down. It's going to be, or is not happening. It's getting hard to imagine events, especially in the first part of 2021, happening. Mm-hmm. I don't see NCR. It's hard to imagine we get into a place where you could start doing NCR, because a lot of those things you have to put in place, you have to start putting in place now. If you're an event in March, April, May, you got to sign. You got to have contracts signed. You've got to have plans in place. You've got to have deals with hotels, and you got to start getting that stuff together now. What is the world going to look like in 6 months? It's impossible to say right now. Maybe we will be in a much better place. I hope we are. But there's a chance we might not be. And it's tough to plan anything, especially anything large scale, without that certainty. Especially when, for a lot of these tournaments, it's a significant financial risk. Like, if you remember, a lot of when these cancellations first started happening, people were talking about bankruptcy, not just like bankruptcy for the groups that are running the tournament. Like, some are run by LLCs and whatnot, but some are run by people, and people were talking about personal bankruptcy. So there's just still so much risk, so much financial risk involved in putting a tournament together. That's even before you think about how many people are actually going to come out, how many people are going to say they come out and then cancel, you know, last minute. Who knows? But it's probably going to be a while before we start seeing big offline events, at least in the U.S. You know, we did see a couple months ago in Thailand, Book shared a picture of them, of a big offline Tekken local that was coming back. And, you know, there's always a chance that virus may come back and spread again. But, you know, we don't know if that, it certainly looks beyond reason to see that happening in the U.S. in the immediate future.
Yeah. And the other thing I was thinking about, too, is with fighting game tournaments, and I include Smash in this, it feels like our type of esport is very different from other types of esports, right? Where we're the only esport, as it were. I kind of hate calling it that, but I think we're the only, like, subsect of the esports community that has events with 500 to 1,000 people where those are the competitors, right? Where we see every other subsect of it, like MOBAs and FPSs and all this other stuff, where they already have a set number of competitors going into the event. So I feel like we, as the FGC, are going to basically, since we have this unique format where it's open bracket, anybody can go, anybody can compete, it's going to be very hard to come back into that, right? Especially, again, because it's much easier to, like, say, for example, I'm just taking, for example, an Overwatch League. It's much easier to control two teams of people and put them in a very safe space and have no crowds, et cetera, et cetera. It's a lot harder when you're trying to do that with 500-ish people, if not more, if not less, depending on who shows up. You don't even know what the numbers are going to look like. So there's a lot of extra hurdles that I think we need to hop before we get back to offline events, on top of, you know, the already existent hurdles for just large community gathering in the first place. But the other thing that I'm starting to realize is after the two big blowups of CPT online, we had, you know, the Metro Am shenanigans on the first CPT online East. We had the Alex Meyer shenanigans, and I say that using their names, but it's not their fault. It's just it's online, right? And we had the Alex Myers thing. We had the Metro M thing. So, and we didn't have any blowups of any kind this week. Is that attributed to the punishment that Punk took for having an outburst? Or are we finally learning, hey, this lag bullshit's going to happen. Might as well just roll with it.
I think part of it is less so like reaction to what happened with Punk and Alex Myers, and more so reaction to pretty much everyone who was in this field this week was already in tournament before, because this was the second round for East Coast. So they've already gone through the CPT online process before. So now the people who are sort of shocked with, you know, what can happen when you're playing Street Fighter V online, now they know to expect it because, hey, it's the same thing it was a few months ago. So I don't know if either of those instances really had much of an impact on this.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I didn't. That's not something I thought about. It's the second runaround for these online tournaments. So maybe it's just because I'm out of touch with the overseas scenes, but I do know that at least in Europe they had some issues with lag, but we didn't get as much of an outburst from them. And again, maybe it's because I'm not in touch with how things are over there, or maybe they're just better at dealing with all the BS shenanigans of online play and lag and such. But I'm interested to see what's going to happen in the near future, especially with this big announcement. Fanatical Milk said Phenom and Big Bird said some stuff. Okay. Yeah, I think that's what I saw, but I didn't see, like, much else of it, right? It was just, oh, man, this was hard to play. Cool. and that was it. Whereas opposed to what happened with the U.S., like, with the Metro M thing, we had a bunch of people piling on Metro M for their connection when it's not really their fault. We had a bunch of people piling on Alex Myers, and then we had a bunch of people piling on Punk. It was just a fucking mayhem, right? It's Twitter being Twitter. It's the echo chamber where one person yells something that they dislike, then everybody starts yelling about their dislikes, and then they just keep yelling louder and louder until something happens. Or nothing happens, and then it just goes away. That's the toxicity of social media. But go ahead.
I think part of that, you know, I don't know how big a part of that it played, but the idea in those particular matches, you had someone who was supposed to win based on name recognition. Mm-hmm. Like, take nothing away from Alex Myers. I think he's a very strong player, and I've said in the past, like, I think he's going to win some major events eventually. I say that like he's a new player, but it makes sense if I can find the tweet I was talking about. But put him against Punk, and most people would expect Punk to win. So when that doesn't happen, oh, that must be because online. Metro M, strong player, but not necessarily a known name compared to some of the other players in that tournament. So when he wins and there's a connection issue, that's the only reason that he wins. It's not because he's a good player. It's because, oh, it's the online thing. And that's sort of one of the big issues with the perception of online play, is that these players, if they come up through online, until they do it offline, they're seen by a large chunk of the community as illegitimate. So someone like Metro M, who hasn't really had that big moment on the big stages just yet, they're going to get their, you know, whenever they get a result, it's going to get looked at with a little bit of a funny eye, and throw in the internet connection issues. And obviously that's the only reason he's winning, right? Obviously.
Well, here's the thing, Steve, you say that until somebody does something offline, they're going to be seen as illegitimate. We've seen somebody do shit offline, and people still don't give them credit. Menard, winning Capcom Cup. People did not like that.
There's a whole other conversation with that in particular.
So it's interesting. Yes, people always look for excuses when a top player goes down, but it's happened offline, right? It's not the first time. Again, big example. MenRD wins Capcom Cup. Everybody hated the kid, right? It's like, oh, he didn't deserve to win. He scrubbed Tokido out. Blah 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 blah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It sounds like it's kind of the same stuff that's happening online. Metro M. He didn't deserve it. I scrubbed him out. Blah 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 blah. You know who does deserve a lot of recognition, though, is Kwanzai, because they have been subscribed for 33 months with us now. Big thank you, Kwanzai. I don't know why the alert didn't pop up. I don't know how this alert thing works. I tried my best with it.
Two down, eight to go.
Eight to go. For those of you that missed it, I'm shaving my beard. If we get eight more subscribers, I will put a straw poll in the chat, and you guys can decide what my facial hair will be for 2 weeks in the show. Maybe we'll make it longer. Maybe we'll make it a month. I don't know. I don't plan on going anywhere. A complete aside, something caught on fire in my neighborhood this morning. And I stepped outside and it was just smoke. And I saw a cop standing in the street when firefighters and stuff were doing stuff across the street. I was like, hey, am I good? And he's like, yep. I was like, all right. That's how disconnected I've been from the outside world.
Just like crap's burning around you. You're like, hey, I'm good, right? Yeah, I'm cool. Yeah. I'm cool.
I mean, I just wanted to make sure it wasn't like the whole neighborhood going in flames. It was just an isolated incident. And he said we're good. So, and I'm still here. So, I guess he was right.
So, before we move off of CPT Online, I just want to run through the top four.
Go for it.
Because
we have a top one. Our top, the person that is the sole benefactor of the show.
How do you find these names, Sword?
I have a feeling he makes them, and then he stops. Anyway, thank you, Die by Sword, for the Fu Manchu gift sub.
That account was created in November of 2017.
I feel like he just types it in there, and whatever happens, happens. All right, seven more. maybe they're all his, yeah. Who knows? He's gifted 126 subs for this channel. You madman. Thank you for your kind generosity, Die by Sword. But go on. I'm sorry. Top four of the CPT.
Top four of the CPT. Obviously, Smug, the winner. Another player who's really, really coming up and it's going to be one to watch.
So you said Smug the winner, and then you just froze, and I was in anticipation of what else you were going to say. Can you start again? So Smug the winner. Right.
Smug is the winner. Shine in second. CJ Truth in third. And in fourth place, Knuckle Doo Dang, coming out of retirement, throwing down. Good to see him play, you know. Good to see him, more importantly, in a place where he wants to play. So whether he plays, whether he takes a break, goes away, whatever he does, as long as he's happy, I'm happy to see him. So,
for sure.
Yeah.
I think the old adage is true. If you're announcing your retirement, you're never truly retired.
That's the retirement theorem that I came up with.
Yep. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, in this particular case is exempt from the retirement theorem because there were other issues at play.
Yeah.
So this is not.
Yeah, but see, PR Rog competed in the Online West a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Now we have Knuckle Doo's back.
He is on his, I believe, fifth retirement. two more, and he's in the Terry Funk retirement club.
Man,
and you get to be in that club forever.
But forever. Here's the other thing too. Knuckle Doo has a team name. What's Cleo? CLEO. I'm gonna Google search it. Cleo makes budgets save more. AI-powered money. Floro by Cleo. I'm pretty sure this isn't.
Cleo is his daughter's name.
Oh, okay. It's also an app on the App Store. Either way. Okay, his daughter's name makes a lot more sense than the stuff I was looking at.
We'll so literally that. Playing for his daughter.
Okay, there. Good shit. Awesome. But yeah, man, making fourth? Shit. On an online tournament? Double shit.
Felipe is asking, do we think there should be prize money to top eight in online CPT?
Isn't there a lot of issues with that?
I know in some countries there's issues with prize money ruling, with online prizing being considered different from offline prizing, or the rules surrounding it, I should say. Because it's cross-state competition, so it would, like, at least in the U.S., because the online play is across state lines, it would fall under federal gaming rules, and that typically would not go well for Capcom if they go that way. Obviously, I want to see players get rewarded as much as possible for putting time and effort into putting on a show for our entertainment, but I know there's a lot of issues with this particular set of issues.
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy logistics that we don't even know about. On top of it all, where would that money come from, right?
Well, you would assume it would be the same as, like, whatever pot bonuses that Capcom provided under other in previous years for their offline events, because they would occasionally spike the pot for their tournaments.
Yeah, well, they do see a bigger return from that, don't they? From, like, a physical tournament, or no? I don't know what the logistics are of that. Like, are they getting the same kind of return that they would from these online tournaments that they would in an offline tournament, is my question. Because then you have to get into that. It's like, is it worth putting up the money to get a diminishing return on something that you're not 100% sure is going to work?
I mean, part of this is, you know, all of these tours are effectively advertising campaigns for their games. Mm-hmm. So it is a question of how much of a return are you getting. This year, it's been all over the place simply because of, you know, at the beginning of the year, there were so many fewer things happening. Now we're seeing more sports coming back, more events coming back, so there's more competition, harder to bring in those viewers. It's really tough to say, but even if we could see a direct number of how much revenue this brings in for a particular online event, there's still the intangible benefits of getting to put your game in front of an audience on the Twitch front page for, whenever these events are on, especially now since Street Fighter V is one of the free games for PlayStation Plus members. Mm-hmm. So that's a chance to gain new customers, and that's not something you can necessarily put a strict dollar amount on.
Yeah, well, the other thing, too, is let's look at it this way. How has Capcom been affected, like Capcom as a company, been affected by the world that we live in now due to COVID? They're not able to work in their office, so things are definitely slowed down, much like every other game company. They're not able to be as organized as they can be because they're not in person, so things are different. So I have a feeling in general, like, because things are so different and because things are so unstable, it's hard to argue for, hey, let's toss $20,000 into this thing, right? Or, like, even if it was, like, a $5,000 pot tournament, especially because there is no entry fee, it makes it difficult, even on top of the logistical uncertainties. I think it just makes it so difficult to have that argument of, hey, let's dump a shit ton of money into this while the company is struggling to adapt to this new world.
Yeah, obviously this it's tougher to make that argument this year, but there's still the idea that these players are doing something to put your game in a favorable light. Mm-hmm. They are showing what this game can be, how entertaining this game can be, how fun this game can be. So you want to make sure that you're giving them motivation to continue to do so. You know, it's, you may lose a few $1,000 per tournament if you pay Uprising, because you might not get that much in ad revenue. You might not get as much at, in terms of clicks, but that you might get that money back in terms of creating new customers for Street Fighter V, for whatever the next Capcom fighting game project is long term. So I do feel there's value in there. I feel like if you can make it happen within a legal framework, I think players should get some prize money or some sort of compensation for doing well. Even if you can't do that, I think something like, you know, special in-game titles, something to connect, the tournament scene with the general scene for the game. Get some sort of funneling going on from, hey, how'd you get that title? Oh, you participated in a tournament? Where can I learn more about this tournament? And get the conversation started that way.
Yeah, but there. So, to your point, at least as far as spending money on players, not necessarily the in-game stuff, because I think the in-game stuff is awesome, and I wish they would do it. They're already doing it, right? In terms of your argument for paying in a little extra money to get a little bit more coverage, they're doing it for none, right? They're doing it for a trip to Capcom Cup.
Right.
The tournaments are still happening. People are still playing. The game is still on the front page. And do you think, and you know, to your other point, it's like, has Street Fighter been put in a good light now that we've been doing these online tournaments? That's another one of those things, because there's a lot of people bitching about Street Fighter V right now, especially the netcode.
Yeah, but that was already happening anyway. You know, at least this way, you've got some sort of content that you can put out. You've got tournaments that people can watch. You've got those pregame shows that they've been working on that have been pretty cool, honestly, from when I have been able to check them out. So there's still, you know, there's the audience that is not happy with the state of the game, but it's pretty likely that they've been unhappy with the state of the game for a while, and those aren't necessarily lost customers or lost fans. They were fans you didn't have in the first place, or fans you've lost a while ago.
Right.
So I don't know how much going from offline to online has necessarily hurt them in this case.
Yeah, all I know is that there's been a lot of bitching about the netcode. A lot more than usual, I will say. Remember Altamore's patch? That was fun. All right. On the same vein of being the new norm online, taking the new norm online, recently, Arc Revo World Tour has made an announcement that I don't think really said much, aside from everything we already kind of know, but they sent out this announcement on Twitter. Steve, you're the literate one, so here it is. Please read this.
Well, before we get into that, we should probably back up.
We backed up.
Earlier this week, Arc Revo announced the details of the online series for Arc Revo America. This is the tour that is the online tour series that is replacing Arc Revo America. So, Anime FGC News, if you're not following them, they had a full breakdown of the changes. Definitely give them a follow. Blue, put your Twitter in the link or in chat, because
put your Twitter in the link. Also, hold on before we go anywhere else. Die by Sword gifted a sub to Mutton Chops. Die by Sword. Also, this is like my... It looks like I don't have a tooth when my mustache is down, because it's like... But that's just my mustache. But thank you, Die by Sword. Mutton Chops. Did you know that Mutton Chops are technically a beard and not a mustache?
I don't know nothing about beards or mustaches.
No, wait. It's backwards. It's technically a mustache and not a beard.
You're talking to a guy for whom this is not their comfort zone.
This isn't my comfort zone either, man. I just haven't shaved in 6 months. And it's finally coming to an end this September. Anyway, back to Blue, link your put your link in the link. Whatever Steve said.
Put your link in the link.
Put your chat in the link. There we go. Everybody go follow that. AFGC News, if you like anime and FGC and news. And all
or three. At least some combination of the three.
Yeah.
You like
If you maybe like FGC News. If you like anime FGCs. If you like anime news. I probably shouldn't advertise that as anime news because I have a feeling that's something different. But anyway.
All right.
So you were talking about the Arc Revo final breakdown.
Yes. So the big thing with this is actually I linked the PowerPoint in the chat here, the call chat. Are you able to pull up page 3 of that?
Okay, stall for a sec.
I will stall for a second. One thing of note is like each of these qualifiers will have cash prizing. And we did just discuss this. I don't know how many people are going to be hounding down doors for $250 if any federal government agents are going to be knocking down doors for $250 a tournament. But there will be $250 awarded amongst the top three for each game. And there's going to be five regions. Very similar to Capcom Pro Tour, where the nation is broken down into regions. There will be a tournament for each game in each region. We're talking BB Tag and... Oh, God. I'm blanking.
Grand Blue?
Grand Blue, yes. Thank you. I am not awake today.
Me neither.
So do you have that page up?
Page number 3, you said.
Page 3, yes, with the map. So if you remember a couple years ago, Red Bull Proving Grounds and Red Bull Battlegrounds, where you had regional tournaments, and then it would go to a national final where everyone from that region is a team, it is very similar. There we go. So... the nation broke down into five regions. You've got the Northwest, the Midwest, the Northeast, South and Southeast, and Southwest. What will happen is, for each tournament, the top two players from Grand Blue and the top two players from BB Tag will qualify for the offline finals. That will take place in early December, December 5th, somewhere in California. All four of those players from the region will qualify as one team, and they'll play sort of a round robin against all of the other teams to determine the winners. That was one of the big talking points in the immediate aftermath of the reveal for the details. People were very worried about what will happen. Are we even going to have an offline tournament? As highlighted on that screen, if you could pull that back up.
Which one? This one?
Yes. It does say that the finals are currently planned for offline in SoCal, but they may be delayed or canceled depending on the state of the COVID-19 pandemic. And that was something that Arc Revolt clarified on Twitter with the quote that you shared earlier.
Whoops. There we go.
They said that, quote, "We are monitoring the situation and would like to stress that the Arc Revo America Finals event may be postponed from its original date or be canceled depending on the safety of travel and risk to our players." Elsewhere, they also mentioned that if a player finishes among the top two and elects not to travel, the qualifying place will be passed down. So it would be like first and third or second and third, and so on and so forth. So that is Arc Revo. As I said, definitely want to follow AFGC news to keep up with all of the goings on for the season. But yeah, we're talking about the possibility of an online event or an offline event and whether or not that's feasible right now.
Yeah. Yeah, man, them be scary times. Turns out that's what happens when a pandemic happens. But yeah, you know, it's crazy to think that. I was just thinking about this too. It's crazy to think that in March we were like, "Oh, this will be a couple months," and here we are, 6 months in, and people are already looking at canceling stuff for 2020. Good times. Good times.
It's interesting to note.
2021, I meant.
Well, yeah. This is taking place in late December 2020. Mm-hmm. Capcom Cup is also supposed to be offline, and that's supposed to have an international field of competitors, and it's currently scheduled for early 2021. I don't know if...
Is it in
LA? I believe so. I would imagine it's in California. That's usually what happens with...
because I think it was
with any Capcom events that take place in the U.S.
Because I think it was supposed to be in France originally.
It was in France. It got moved to the U.S. after the pandemic.
Okay.
After the move, whatever.
We couldn't see what was coming back then.
Well, here's the other thing. Specifically about CPT, I don't know how this is going to happen unless everywhere drastically changes, because do you think that anyone in that the U.S. will approve travel for anyone coming in from China right now? Because there is going to be a qualifier from China.
Yeah, no.
And even if you moved it to another country, say you moved it back to France, is France going to approve someone coming in from China or coming in from the U.S.? I don't think so. Certainly not the way things are right now. So there's going to be a question of how do you fill those slots, because I cannot see how you don't have people who are either unable or unwilling to make the trip once that event happens. In Arc Revo's case, everyone who qualifies is going to be from the U.S., so there's no international travel involved. But, you know, how things are in Wyoming are likely going to be different from how things are in Florida or Texas or New York. So no matter what happens, unless we see a drastic change in the state of the world, a change so drastic that I don't foresee it taking place, there are going to be issues to deal with whenever this offline event happens, if it's still an offline event.
Yeah, I think the only way that they can do an online tournament, or an offline tournament, rather, is actually exactly what Fanatical Milk was saying, is to have a super controlled environment, a bubble, if you will, kind of like what they're doing with the NBA, with other sports. Although, and I was going to say the film industry as well, but and here's something, this is news that might affect us. One person from the film industry, and an assistant director, has passed away from COVID this past week. So the entire film industry, again, is hit hard by this, and now people are starting to think twice about going to film stuff. So I have a feeling it's the same thing in every case, where if one person from the NBA winds up tragically passing away due to the coronavirus, everything's gonna take a big step back, right? So things are so fragile right now. with like whether things are happening or not. Like, we're basically tiptoeing the line, unless you're the dean of a university, which in case then you just don't care about anything, you just want that money. thank you, Tie by Sword, for gifting Soul Patch a subscription.
So you talk about the bubble. It's feasible for the NBA because
they have money.
Their games are, they have lots of money. Their games are hosted on national TV. Their games are watched by, you know, one of the playoff games had 2 million people watching it, and that was considered low. We are jumping through hoops whenever we have 100,000 watching fighting games.
Yep.
It is very expensive to pull off any sort of bubble. I don't think the financial reward is going to be that significant for whoever puts on the event, whether we're talking about Capcom for Capcom Cup, whether we're talking about Arxis for Arc Revo. It's just not, I don't think a bubble is feasible in terms of fighting games.
Right.
Yeah, in terms of FGC stuff.
Yeah, because, so, we already actually talked about this a lot when the last CPT happened, where the argument was that the prize money that people earned in the Capcom Pro Tour Finals was not enough, but they had their flight, their hotel, all taken care of. Imagine this argument now where you have to stay in a hotel for 2 weeks before the tournament. Right? So, yeah, that is a lot of money that I don't think exists in our sphere, our esports sphere, our FGC sphere. And it's tough. I don't know how they're going to do it. And Parsec, yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll drive a boat out with a Parsec server in the middle of the Pacific so that we can get a semi-decent match between Japan and SoCal. And then we'll drive another one between right in the middle of the Atlantic so that we can get a decent match between New York and the UK. And then we'll go from there.
And I mean, the other thing is, if you're talking about doing a bubble, if you're a pro football player, a pro soccer player, a pro basketball player, you're making tens of thousands of dollars a week, possibly. Yep. So that makes it much more feasible. Here, are these young players really going to be willing to shut themselves off for, for, you know, 17th place, $400, 13th place, $800, 9th through 12th, $1,600. If you don't make top eight, you're making pretty much minimum wage at best.
Yeah.
And that's just not feasible for most people.
Yeah, it's tough for sure. Okay, so that is the state of the FGC in nowadays and the normalization of online tournaments and a possible what will happen with offline tournaments if they come back this year. Do you think they're going to come back this year? I'm not optimistic.
Someone will run one. I don't think it will necessarily be anything that was a premiere on the CPT, but someone out there is going to run an event. Some people will attend. It won't necessarily be the best decision, but it will happen. And yeah, we're good. This is one of those things where we needed to take an ounce of prevention to avoid the pound of cure, and right now no one wants to take a pound of cure.
Yep, and it's because science is a political opinion in the United States.
But anyway. I don't think it will be a major event. I think someone will run a regional. Someone will run like something bigger than a local.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, because I think the esports arena in Vegas is having locals. Right, I remember seeing Bear, who is a Smash TO and now a Mario Kart TO, who works for Esports Arena Vegas. was sharing a lot of pictures of how they were doing. And it looked okay. It looked like everybody was socially distanced. Everybody was wearing a mask. It looked very safe. But at the end of the day, is it actually safe? Who's to say? I don't know if they're still happening. I guess we should probably ask them. I'll send them a tweet after this and ask if those events are still happening. Anything else we need to say on these topics? Or shall we move forward to the next few?
I think we shall move forward.
Okay, great. On to happier news. Well, first, Die by Sword gifting a sub to Babyface. Thank you, Die by Sword.
God.
We're
halfway there.
Yep, we are. We are roughly six away.
Five.
Five?
Yeah.
I thought we started with 34. Oh, it just updated. Okay, yeah. All right, yeah. We're five away. So, and then I guess actually, Die by Sword is going to have to pick.
Four away.
Four? I thought we started at 35. Was it 34?
Because Fanatical Milk, Kwanzai, and then Die by Sword gave us Fu Manchu, Mutton Chops, Soul Patch, and Babyface.
Okay.
So we're at six right now.
Okay, well, four more, and then you guys get to decide what my facial hair would be for the next... You know what? Fine. If it happens today, it'll be a month. I'll stay with that facial hair until the second week of October.
So, which is probably the best time to remind you that this is now September.
Yes. For those of you that don't know what September is, if you decide to subscribe to a channel for the first time, you get, say it with me, 30% off.
Snake. You gotta tell me what you gotta tell me what we're saying before we say it. Oh,
Snake Balloon, thank you for your gift. Super appreciated. We're three away. I guess I'm gonna have a
two away because they also gifted. Yeah, because they subscribed themselves, and they only gifted. Yeah, it shows up
that,
separately.
Yeah, yeah, so. Yes. It shows that they're giving stuff to the community and who that person is. So Narima FGC, congratulations on your gifted subscription. You can now enjoy such great emotes as Eclipse. And Die by Sword subscriber is gifting a subscription.
And Space
to
Dive. Oh, Space Dive got. So one more.
Jesus Christ.
If we get one more, it's going
to
be one more.
I knew ridiculing myself was going to yield subscriptions. So there you go, chat. I hope you're happy. We have one more subscription left. But thank you, Space Dive, for 18 months of support. Super appreciate you. And Die by Sword gifting a sub to Waxed Mustache. That's so, 130 gift subs that they have given us.
We also got to name Space Dive's baby.
Oh, yeah, that is 18 months. All right, Steve, you pick. What's Space Dive's Twitch baby name?
We're going to go with Bubble. Bubble. Okay.
Space Dive, congratulations on your Twitch baby, Bubble. Long life. And best wishes to you. Take care of them, will you? Don't drop them. Boy, that was dark. All right, let's get into our next topic. Happy news, good news, right? We saw the nominations for the Esports Awards have been coming out this past week, and one of our own, the man who beat me in my first local, the man who was here talking with us for a while, the man, the myth, the legend, the best videographer of the FGC, allegedly. Esteban, got a nomination for the Esports Award for Best Videographer. If you haven't seen it, go. I hope you're pulling up the link because I forgot to do that. If you haven't seen it, go over to Esteban's Twitter, which I'm sure is just the Besteban. Could be wrong about that. And peep the nomination. Go vote for him. Let's vote for one of our own. Because that's cool, man. And that guy has been putting so much work into such great documentaries and, like, making our scene look good in front of a camera. Well, not even just our scene. Making our scene, making developers look good, making all this crazy shit happen. He's worked with SGDQ when he was able. He's worked with 10O Media. He's done a bunch of stuff for us, so I think one way that we can give back is to get him that big old trophy. I don't know if anything else comes with it, aside from the prestige and the name. But I say we do it. So everybody go vote for him. Big happy times. I think the only other person who was FGC affiliated that has been at the Esports Award for an award, aside from Sonic Fox for winning Esports Player of the Year, was Tempest Rob, right? Tempest Rob a couple years ago got a nomination.
I thought Vexany got nominated that same.
Yeah, Vexany is there for photography, I think.
Yes. So that is going to be under creative. Mm-hmm. So there's three categories in the link I submitted. Community, industry, and creative. So Besteban is one of the nominees for videographer. And Vexany is nominated this year as well for best photographer.
All right, chat. Here's how it looks. I'm going to walk you guys through this. Did Vexany win last year? Oh, she did win last year. Sick. She deserved it. I just remember that picture of Scar and the dude with the hair. Nikali. I wish I remembered his name. But yeah, anyway, chat, this is what it looks like. If you go to the Esports Awards page, it's just esportsawards.com/vote. You come over here to vote for community on the left. You click it. Okay, you don't click it. What is happening? Hold on, I'm going to figure this out. Oh, yeah, you do click it. All right, you click it, and then it gives you this big old list of things like content creator of the year. And then if you go all the way down to the – did I pick the wrong one? I think I picked the wrong one. I picked the wrong one. Let's go back.
Yeah. Yeah, so under creative.
Oh, I saw the C, and I didn't read the rest. All right, I clicked creative. There we are. This is the one we were looking for. All right, chat. Remember, I'm illiterate. So we have cosplayers. We have content series. Here we are. Photographer, and we have... Sorry. Photographer. And these are all the photographers, but obviously you want to vote for Vexany. And we have, at the very end, videographer of the year. And there's all these videographers, but obviously you want to vote for the Besteban, who's right here. All right, everybody got capiche? Everybody go do that.
You can also vote in categories like Esports Commercial Partner of the Year.
Yeah.
So that's an option if you want to do that, but definitely check that out. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but I won't be mad if you vote for Besteban.
I'll tell you who to vote for. Vote for Besteban and vote for Vexany. There you go. Easy peasy. Lastly, before we end the night, Steve, I think it's about time we bring back a segment that we haven't done in a long time.
Hold on.
Holding?
Oh, wait. No, I can't. I can't count. That's okay. So, yeah, we need to do this. We've kind of lost our way, and I feel like this is a way to bring us back on track.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time, in what feels like 6 months.
Which might just be 3 weeks the way 2020 goes.
Yeah. Let's get ready for a block grab. Block grab.
Block grab.
We're back with the block grab. All right. Steve, you sent me a bunch of costumes. Are these from the Design a Costume contest that Capcom was running?
Yes, these were. Voting actually ended last night. So I was hoping to do it last week with Sharpie because I wanted to get her reaction to some of these. Didn't work out timing-wise, but it was still a pretty fun episode.
Yeah.
Real good conversation.
For sure. No, and definitely I think a more important conversation than Black Dragon costumes.
although there's a couple of these that we need to do. So these were the 12 finalists for the competition that was part of the CPT season pack. The top two vote getters will be released as costumes in-game. We believe, I haven't seen any final numbers, but I do believe that there are two jury costumes in this batch, and both of them finished 1-2 in some order, so they are likely the ones we are going to get. But we still need to figure out, do we like these, do we dislike these? So we need to do this. Let's okay. Block grab
it. Well, let's dive right into it. We have 15 minutes. Perfect timing. Here is the first one, and it is a Balrog with jet arms. He kind of looks like he looks like something out of something, but I can't quite put my finger on it. Where is this from? Oh yeah, he kind of does look like Doomfist a little bit. Minus the glasses and the everything else.
He reminds me of something else, but
yeah, it's familiar, but I don't know where from.
Anyway. I'm going to scream it like 5 minutes after I'm done.
Yep, and we'll figure it out.
With the shout.
But either way, Steve, block grab on this Balrog.
This, I feel like the metal arms does it for me. It's just a beautiful touch. I feel like, yeah, this, I would be all over this. So I am definitely grabbing this. I'm command grabbing this one.
Okay. My one concern is, if you look at the picture on the left, on the right, rather, he has this aura. Is this the same aura that the Pyron costume for Gil has? Because if so, that's fucking bullshit, and I don't like it. That shit makes it hard to play. But with that said, this costume does look badass. I love the detail on the picture on the left with him having the thing on his spine. Kind of looks like a weird rat tail, though. But I'm a grab. This is awesome. I'm into it. He has the Beats by Dr. Dre on his head. I'm down.
I'm down
for future Balrog.
Those of you in chat, if you want to play along, if you want to make your voice heard, we've got emotes.
Yeah.
You can hit us with B-O-B block, the B in block being the only one capitalized, or B-O-B grab with the G in grab being capitalized to let us know if you're blocking or you're grabbing.
All right, we got one block and one grab. Sick. It's a tie. Cool. Let's move on to this next one, shall we?
We shall.
This is Alex as a New York mobster. 1920s Alex.
I like this. I like the style of this. It's not my personal favorite, but I feel like this is a very well done costume. I'll grab not as quickly as I would grab the Balrog one, but this one's still very solid.
I feel like I couldn't tell who this was if it wasn't for it saying Alex at the bottom left. Right? Like, this could be Ken. This could be any other blonde male. And I feel like it doesn't really match Alex's body type. Like, he does have suspenders and stuff. So I guess that may be, like, where the correlation is. But I don't know. I think I'm a block on this one. It's cool. It's a great costume. I'm a block because I don't think it's Alex.
See, I think we need to separate the artist drawing from the costume itself, because this is a very stylized Alex. You might not think Alex when you see it, but if you imagine this costume on Alex, I'm definitely a fan.
Has Alex ever worn a shirt?
I don't know why I'm waving the woo.
Waving the woo.
Like, Wu-Tang Clan ain't messing with Alex. Why did I do that? I was like, oh, yeah, shirt. Yeah, shirt.
I don't know. God. All right. Either way, people are saying story costume Alex and TVC Alex. Steve.
OG, they ain't messing with Alex. Wu-Tang Clan ain't messing with Alex.
All right, we have a limited amount of time. We have to go. Next one.
All right.
Is Sombra Laura. At least
yes.
It looks like Sombra.
Yes, yes, yes. 1,000 times yes. It's very stylized. It makes sense with the character. This is, for me, one of the strongest going on. Yeah, I know there's a lot going on, but I think all of it works. I love the little Thunderbolt tails on her jacket. The necklace, it just all comes together really well for me. So this is a definite grab.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that Street Fighter V has an issue with clothing clipping everything. So how would that work with jewelry? Right? Like if you see at the top she has necklaces and she has things on her corset. So I wonder how that would affect the game and all the crazy clipping stuff that we already deal with. However, with that said, I do like the design. The light-up clothing is a nice touch. I'm down with it. I'm a grab it. I'm a gribbity grab. And it looks like everybody else in the chat is gribbity grabbing as well. So that's a grab all around. Let's move on to... Oh, boy. I think I know which costume you were talking about. Which jury costume made it the top one?
Well, there's two. There are two jury costumes.
Yeah, well, that's one of them. There it is.
This one's...
Poison Jury.
This one, yeah. I like the spider pattern for the belt. But other than that, it just doesn't really do it for me. It just feels like, okay, yeah, that's cool. You know, I wouldn't hate it, but it's not necessarily the anything that I look at and say, yeah, I have to have that one. So I am going to block.
Yeah, this would not be ESPN legal, and I feel like it just looks like poison, straight up. So I'm going to block it as well. But this is probably one of the two that are in the top two. So we're going to get it whether we want to or not.
So, like I said, I haven't seen the final numbers, but everything I've been reading says it's the two jury costumes that got the top two spots.
Would you be surprised? Because I wouldn't be surprised.
people like well-dressed female characters. Simple as that.
Yep. Speaking of well-dressed, I'm actually a super... I hate that I get to see the preview of these. But here is the next costume, and it is Kabuki Honda.
And this one
even has alt colors. It's basically this... if Honda turned into Nikali.
I like it. I really like it. I feel like there's a very distinct style here that you don't really see, that we really haven't seen. Like, we've seen schoolgirl costumes, we've seen sort of sexy costumes. We haven't seen a whole bunch of kabuki costumes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this would be something that you see it and you think instantly Honda. So I am grabbing on this.
No, I totally agree with you. I'm grabbing, but I do have concerns. First, the hair. How old the hair clip? And it looks like the hair can be up or down if you look on the right. So is it going to be a case of Nikali hair where you can't see how he's moving after he activates V-Trigger? What's going to happen with that? That's my one concern. With all that said, I'm a super big fan of this costume. I especially like the details, like the sandals he's wearing. The wooden sandals look great. The alt colors look great. I'm down. That's a big old blocky for me. Or a grabby for me, not blocky. I'm going to grab that Honda. Next, we have to keep moving along because we're quickly running out of time. Family Man Guile.
This is what I'm talking about with the drawing skills.
Yeah, but I like this a lot.
Yes. Yes, this is awesome. You know, this is a very... I like the remote in the back pocket. I like so much of this. Just lean into it. You've got the joke, just lean into it. So I would be very happy to see this if they decided to go with this. I am grabbing this for sure.
Yeah, I'm hella grabbing. Handyman Guile. When he's not flash kicking you, he's flash kicking his engine. He's throwing sonic booms in his wood shop. I'm grabbing the shit out of that. Alrighty, let's move on. Again, very limited time. We got to keep it moving. Here is what I only assume is a Monat.
Again, like, it's not bad by any stretch of the imagination. It just doesn't strike me as something that's significantly different from what we've seen before. You know, it looks kind of like sexy schoolgirl. which we've seen, you know, we've seen very, very, we've seen quite a few different interpretations of that. I'm going to block. Maybe it's like a card dealer. I don't know. I'm not feeling this one.
Yeah, it looks like a casino dealer. I'm going to grab for two reasons. First, I'm big into gambling, so big thumbs up from me. I like gambling. Grab. Second.
You need help, man? No. You need to talk to somebody about that?
Nope. Because I'm in the green, baby. I will need to talk to somebody when I'm in the red. I'm kidding. The other detail is, if you look at the ball, different suit. And as you know, Steve, with your off suits, I wonder if the two other red suits are in that. If they are not, then I'm going to block. If they are, then I will grab. But I kind of like the card pattern, right? You have the white and the black on the clothing. You have the red in the all the straps, I guess, and the tie. And then you have the suits on the crystal ball. You know, I kind of like it. I'm grabbing it. Anyway, I'm sorry. Let's keep it moving. Here is another one that looks pretty badass. This is Zangief with motorcycle stuff. What are your thoughts?
See, I'm torn. If it's just the jacket, I think like it's too, you know, it's not quite as distinctive. But I love the Z belt, and with the helmet, it's an easy grab. Give me, if the helmet is included, if it is part of the costume, it is an easy grab for me. Without it, it's a mild grab.
Yeah, you know, I'm grabbing it, and here's why. First, top left, slick back hair style. That's what I'm fucking talking about, right? Like the slick back swoosh. Two, the helmet, and three, you know, I kind of like leather jacket geef. But yeah, like you said, like it's in the details, right? It's in the helmet, it's in the hair, it's in that Z belt buckle. That's where the details are. So we need those. But I'm a fan of this. I like it. I'm digging it. It's a grab for me. Alrighty, up next. Sorry, I should just put this up. This is Mika. Okay.
Yeah.
So what is this costume of?
I don't know if it's like Shrine Maiden. I believe it's like Shrine Maiden. It works. I like it. You know, it's not necessarily my favorite, but I feel like this really, really works, especially with Nadeshko. So I'm gonna grab. It's not a firm grab, but it's a grab.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. It's super unique. I don't think we've ever seen Mika, or like, I don't think we would ever expect Mika to be in this kind of thing. But you know, I'm digging it. Yeah, you know what? I'm a grab. This is pretty neat. It's hard to imagine it in the game, though, from this art style. But I like the concept. You know what? I'm down. Nadeshko does need more costumes, and this is a good costume for Nadeshko. So I'm grabbing, based on that. Alrighty. Next.
I believe, by the way, someone was asking, I believe the kanji on the back was Matsuri, which means festival. I could be wrong on that. Could you pull that back up? Sorry. I believe that's Matsuri. It's been so long since I've taken a Japanese class.
I've never taken a Japanese class, so let my ignorance be your confidence. Yes, it is that character. Alrighty. Up next, here is Sakura. With an octopus purse, Mega Man mask on the side of the head.
This one is so good. So good. The Karen mask, or the Karen purse.
There are so many references that I'm just now noticing.
Yeah. This was, it came down to like, this was in the top three. So this might have snuck in beating one of the jury ones at the end. But this one is so good. All the references. And they're just well done. Easiest grab.
Yeah. No, yeah, this is like, all the references in this are hilarious, right? Like, I didn't even notice the Karen purse. That's hilarious. The Servbot pin looks hilarious. The Mega Man X and Zero masks look funny. Like, I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm down to clown with this one. I'm grabbing two for sure.
Easy grab.
All right, we got two more.
This might be my second favorite.
Okay, we got two more. And here is Swimsuit Vega.
Number one, free. Grab. If you do not grab this, you are doing this wrong. This is easily. Look, how can you lose when you're going into a fight? You need all the agility you can get. You're in a Speedo. You are in the absolute, you have the freest amount of motion. The freest amount of motion. They show sunglasses on there. Who cares about the sunglasses? It's all about the Speedo.
Go ahead.
It is 150% grab. This is a zero frame grab.
Yeah, and he better have the code to take off the jacket. All right, if the ladies can do it, Vega can do it too. I'm grabbing. I'm down with it. Let's go. Vega in a Speedo. I'm down. And ladies and gentlemen, our final one. And remember, one more sub for us to reach the facial hair selection milestone for a month. But here is the other jury costume that probably won it. She's got parachute pants. She's got a big jacket. She's got spider in the back of the jacket, the duster.
Like, it's fine. It doesn't. This strikes me as a bit more jury than the other one. But, you know, it's not like it's bad. It's just, you know, sort of there. It doesn't really do it for me like the Sakura costume does. I think that one's fantastic. This one is fine. So I'll block on this one just because I've set the standard so high. Plus, it has to follow up Vega.
Okay. Well, see, here's the sitch. I'm going to grab it because I like it better than the other jury costume. Granted, again, I think, you know what the reason I'm grabbing is, and I know we're not supposed to do this, but I love the facial expression she has on the left one. She's just like, it's like so goofy. I'm down with it. But yeah, I'm going to grab because I like it better than the other one. This feels a lot more like jury.
It's the facial expression that won it and not the underboob. Not the little
bottom 10% of breasts. I just thought the facial expression was hilarious. Look, if we didn't vote for... Look, if it was an underboob situation, we would have voted for the other one, all right? An EBG.
There it is. Number 10. Buzzer.
All right, chat, here's what we're going to do. If you haven't already, join our Best of Five Discord. If somebody could drop that link in the chat. Join the Best of Five Discord. We'll set up a voting poll there, and you can vote for my facial hair style for the next month. So we'll do, hopefully starting next week, I'll try to shave during the weekend. We'll do the entirety of September and the first week of October. And then that will be the end of that. But congratulations, you guys did it. You've arrived. That was 10 subs. You maniacs. Stop
it. I've put an invite in the chat.
Awesome. Thank you.
So.
You fucking maniacs.
Thank you, EBGBs, by the way.
Yeah, thank you, EBGBs. Right on the buzzer. And with that said, that's been our show. So thank you so much, everybody, for hanging out, for joining us. This is super fun. We need to do more block grabs. Steve?
We really do. I forgot how much fun
block grabs can be. So we'll do more of those. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. We'll probably have somebody else joining us. We'll probably have crazy things to talk about. Who knows what this week brings, but this has been fun. So we'll talk to you guys. Oh, I apologize. I forgot to do the thing. How dare I? Where is it? Where is it? There it is. Now for realsies. Thank you everybody for watching. We'll be back next week. And please go say tell Ultra Chen TV we said hello. And that's been it. Anything else?
Stay alive. Good night, Canada.
Good night, Canada. Good night. I missed the button. I fucked it up. Son of a bitch. All right. Well, no. Whatever. Bye, everybody.